All right, if you turn your Bibles to Ruth chapter 1, the book of Ruth chapter 1. So what we're doing with chapter 1, we're looking at this chapter from different angles. Tonight we're going to look at this chapter from Ruth's viewpoint. We're going to look at her tonight. So we're in the Old Testament, the book of Ruth, and chapter 1. And let's look at verse 16. So we have a Bible study. We continue to go through the Bible and chapter by chapter. And tonight we continue in the chapter 1. And tonight I titled this message, A Woman of Profound Loyalty. A Woman of Profound Loyalty. Look what it says in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. And Ruth says, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whether thou goest, I go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and also, if aught, but that part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left, speaking unto her. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for a person of profound loyalty. Lord, profound loyalty to you and to the person that was her mother-in-law. I pray, Father, help us, Lord, in the world that we live in. Is not much loyalty in these days, Lord, not much character of integrity in the lives of people. I pray, Father, help us primarily to be people of integrity and character in this world that we live in. People that make a difference, Lord, for you, Lord, and for people that need you desperately. I pray, Father, if there's someone here tonight that never received Jesus as Savior, may tonight they will understand that's not religion that we're talking about here, but it's about a relationship with the God of the universe. I just pray, Father, they will repent of their sin and call upon you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was going to say, you may be seated. You're already seated. This is not Sunday morning, right? All right, so we were looking here, as we marching through the Bible, we looked at chapter 1. We will continue to look at chapter 1. The book of Ruth only have 4 chapters. It's a small book, but it's a profound book. When you look at the book of Ruth, the first thing you think about, Ruth and Boaz is a story of love. Which you can't go that way is a story of love, but it's more than that. It's a story of judgment as well. We talked about that last week. It was a story of God judging his own. And sometimes we talked about last week, you know, sometimes we Christians, we go to church, we read the Bible, we try to live for God, and suddenly we begin to look at the grass on the other side of the fence, and we jump to the other side, and we begin to live not as children of God, we even though we are, but like, you know, the children of this world, living for this world. And God let us go for a time. But he brings the hammer down sometimes. And when he brings the hammer down sometimes, some of us really hurt bad. And this case right here, the judgment of God was so severe in the house of Ruth that God literally killed her husband before time and also her 2 kids. She came back home. She was in the land of Moab, and she came back home. She left behind her 3 graves, and she came into the hand of Bethlehem, of course, bitter. That you're talking about Naomi. She came bitter. She came mad at God, and she even told the people in Bethlehem when she got there, don't call me Naomi anymore, call me Mara, because she was bitter at God. She knew, actually, as we looked last week in this passage, she actually knew and she confessed with her mouth that the judgment of God was in her house. She knew exactly, she understood that's what God was doing. And let me tell you, we Christians, if we know the Word of God, if we understand the Word of God, we can tell when God is over us and chasing in us. We know. And she knew. So, and but instead of realizing, saying, "Lord, forgive me for the sins that is," you know, ask the Lord forgiveness and new guidance. She was mad at God, and let me tell you how many Christians are mad at God. Something happens in their life, and they put a fist and say, "If you love me, this you wouldn't do this to me. If you love me, you wouldn't allow this to happen to me, or me to go through these troubled waters." But a lot of times, hear me well, we create our own trouble. A lot of times we do it to ourselves and we blame others. I work in a job that is like that. My job, like we have, I mean, everything we touch is thousands of dollars. I mean, literally. Patrick can testify to that because he worked there. It's thousands of dollars. He might work with a little valve that costs you about $4,000, $5,000, $10,000. And you don't want to make a mistake. You just don't want to make a mistake. One time I was cutting a piece, and because somebody made a mistake, and the guy said to me, "Cut this, make sure you don't mess it up." So I was gentle as I could, and I cut it, got it out. He goes, when I finished, he said, you just saved the company $50,000. I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "That's the amount of money the piece cost." Like, oh, goodness. I didn't know that. So, because I would tremble if I... So I said, "You should have told me before I started." He goes, "Yeah, I wouldn't did tell you because you were going to mess it up." But what happened was when people make a mistake, what they do, they blame others. "Oh, it's not me, it was them. It was not me, it was him." It's like it's always shifting blame because nobody wants to be responsible. But that's how we are as humans, isn't it? It's easy to blame somebody else. Well, it's easy to blame God, isn't it? It's easy to say, "He did it." It's easy to blame God. I mean, you know, isn't that easy to blame somebody that's not around, not present with you? I mean, you work with somebody, right? That person maybe didn't show up to work that day. Something happened. You go, "Oh, it was so-and-so. It was so-and-so. It's not here. It's home." It's easy to blame God too, you know. It's like so, but so much you can blame because God knows. So tonight we are going to look at this chapter from a different angle. We are going to look at this woman called Ruth, the Moabite. She is not a Jew, but a Gentile woman. She's like us, all right? You're not a Jewish person. Is anybody a Jewish person here? Or Jewish descent, blood? No. We Gentiles, right? We're not Jews, all right? So she's a Gentile woman. She's a Moabite. She didn't belong to the nation of Israel. There are many stories in the Bible that serve as an encouragement to our hearts. The story of Ruth is no exception. Many look at this little book, which was written during the time of the Judges. We talk about this. They were going on in the same time. And we see nothing more than a love story. Actually, last year we had a movie night here. And look what he did. We had the book of Ruth. And it was a love story. If you look at the book, that's where it was. You know, everything went and then Ruth meets Boaz. And, you know, the end of the story. So however... While there is a love story of sort in this book, which it is a love story here, that is the most shallow, so to speak, interpretation. The biggest picture is that of a lost sinner, listen to this, through divine guidance and providence is brought into a relationship with Jehovah God, the God of the universe. So we are taught that in this book that God is not just the Savior of Israel, but He is also the Savior of the entire human race. Now, let me put it like this. When we talk about this God of the Bible, we're talking about a God that wants a relationship with you and with me. Nothing to do with religion. Actually, if you look at the gospel, Jesus was very hard on religion. He called religious people hypocrites, vipers, all kinds of names that you don't dare to say to people today. Imagine if I go to you and say, "You're such a hypocrite. You are a viper." I mean... You would be offended, wouldn't it? But Jesus called them. Jesus called them several names to those people because they had religion, they didn't have relationship. He even called them the sons of the devil. Why? Because they didn't know God. He said, if you knew God, you would know me. If you knew Abraham, you knew me because he spoke of me. So we see right here there is a living God, the God of the Bible. That's his word. And is a God, even is the creator of all. He loves you and me so much, he wants to have a relationship with you and me. That's beyond our imagination. Isn't God too busy to even pay attention to me? Is millions of people in this world, why he wants me? It's because he loves you. And he loves me, created you. So Ruth the Moabite gave us as an example of faithfulness and loyalty to the Lord. She was raised believing in her pagan gods, and then in Moab there was all different types of gods. And you say, well, we don't have the, they worship a lot of, we say today, we don't have those types of gods. Look at this. Yes, we do. People have gods and all kinds of different gods. Some people have the god of money. They worship their money. Some people have the god of sports. Let me tell you this. If a person knows more about sports as he knows about anything else and idolizes all these guys out there, that's their god. I don't care how they say it is not. It is. And if you saturate your mind and heart and those things, you know, the only player I know of the Patriots, it's Belichick. He's the coach, right? I watch the game. I can't memorize those guys. But anyway, we have to understand. So the Bible says right here that in the land of Moab, there was many gods. And she was exposed to those gods. But she was raised believing in her pagan gods. But once she met, listen to this, the God of Israel, she loved him, and she got so committed to him with a profound loyalty. That's the title right now. Listen, we Christians, we are to love the Lord our God with a profound loyalty. That means like, you know, I don't waver, I don't bend, I don't give up. Don't matter what it is, I'm faithful to him. And we see here Ruth the Moabite, she even confronts her mother-in-law and says, where you go, I go. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. I'll go with you. I never leave you. She was committed. She said, I'm not going to go back to where I came from. And listen, folks, before we even get to our points right here, I said this last week. Listen, how many Christians, and I'm generalizing here, how many Christians, they got saved, they came from the cesspools of sin out of this world, they're clean, they have the love of God in their hearts, and they leave, and they go back to the same where they came from. Why? Is the prodigal son the same story? He lived in a father's house, he left the love of the father, and he went do his own thing. What he made out of himself, he made a mess out of himself. He did something that is unheard amongst Jewish people. He went eat with the swine. That's how low he went. Then he said, I'm going home because in my father's house, the servants are treated better than me in this place. And we know the story. When he comes down the road to come to his father's house, where's the father? At the door waiting for him. So we see right here in this Ruth, the Moabite, an example of faith and loyalty to God. Listen, let me put it this way so you can understand this. Was Ruth going through hard times? Yes, she was. She just lost her husband. There was no food in the house. All right? Her mother-in-law said, go back to your people, to your gods. I'm going back to mine. So pretty much is like, okay, this family broken apart. My husband died. I have no place to go. Where am I going? So it was, she's going through a hard time? Yes. It was that easy to abandon those times, to give up on everything? Yes, it is. But let me tell you, she did not. And that's what the message is, the loyalty and the profound loyalty of this woman. It don't matter what happened. Lord, I'm going to stay faithful to you. Let me tell you, we live on a very uncertain times right now. Look at our country, the situation in our country. Get up in the morning, you don't know. A lot of people run to the news first thing in the morning when they wake up. They want to know what happened overnight. But let me tell you, in times like this, may we be like Ruth, loyal, and say, Lord, whatever comes and go, I'm going to stay close to you. I'm going to be loyal to you. I'm going to follow you. And Lord, I know you will take care of me and my family. Let me tell you, as many people, many roots through the ages. So let's look at this from several points tonight about this woman. Let's look, number one, Ruth's living situation. We see this from verse 1 to verse 7. Like some of us here tonight, Ruth married a person from another culture. She was a Moabite. He was a Jewish man. Can you imagine the cultures? He said, I don't understand. All right, look at me. I'm Portuguese. My wife is from Mississippi. See the difference? When I first time I went to Mississippi, I didn't understand these people. They're like, all right, I was like, they speak different English down here. My wife would laugh at me. And believe me, when we get like to Georgia, if we travel, her speech changes. And I say, honey, what happened to your English? I'm like, well, I got to talk the way they talk. I was like, yeah, but I don't understand you. But it's funny. It's like, so different culture. I remember when we got married, the way she used to think different than the way I used to think. And hey, look, I'm from a different culture. We do things different. Can you imagine Ruth right here? He's a Jewish man. She's a Moabite. She believes in other gods. He believes in the friend God. How they live together. You see the difference right here? Her living situations, her culture. Let's see, letter A, her background. Look at verse 4. And they took them wives of the woman of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. So Ruth was married with her husband for about 10 years. So Ruth was a Moabite, a member of a nation condemned by God. We said this we look about this. Moab was a nation condemned by God. And those Jewish families should not be there. So she and her people were sinful and been judged and condemned by the Lord. She was in a desperate and lost condition. She was a lost woman. She was lost. Now, I mean lost like lost. She was lost spiritually. She was dead in trespasses and sins. So Ruth is a picture of each person who is outside of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. She's a picture. We look at her, Ruth the Moabite. She was a lost soul. What happened to people who are lost in this world? Let me give it very briefly. They are hopelessly existing. Well, people say, "Whoa, I have a good life. I have a wonderful life." Yes, you do. But if you're not saved, if you're not a child of God, you will die in your sins and you will be judged for all eternity. You say, "How you know that?" God says in His Word. And she is a reflection of millions of people. She's a picture of many people. And she married this man, which was a Jewish man, but she was a Moabite. She was not a Jewish woman. So we see here her background. She come from a land of pagan gods. The people worship all kinds of different gods, statues, and some of the gods are pretty bad, what they did, the sacrifices they made to those gods. So let it be, we see her challenges. See, we see in verse 5, and it says, the man that says, Molon, and it says, and Kilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So we see right here, then those two girls lost their husbands. Also, Naomi lost her husband. So it was a father and two boys that died. And if we see three widows right here. So this verse tells that Ruth's husband and his two sons both died here. And we know because of the judgment of the Lord. These women were left widows with no means of support themselves and with no hope for the future. Now you say, whoa, I'm sorry. They lost their husbands. They could get a job. They could go work at McDonald's or Dunkin' Donuts or maybe you got a job. Listen, this is a different times. If you look at the woman's status in those days, it's not like today. I say to you, praise the Lord for the freedom that ladies have today. To go get a job, to have a freedom to vote, to have a freedom to do anything a man can do. And because in those days, we're not like that. Those women lost their husband. They were hopelessly lost with the physical condition in their life. How are they going to take care of themselves? That's why, I mean, Naomi said, go back to your people. I'm going back to my people. I can't take care of you. We're just three women here. We're going to die here. I tell you what, and praise the Lord, because through the ages, God always put the woman and the man out there. Never put a woman secondary to a man, even though society have been done this for ages. So we see her challenge here. They were faced with a terrible trial. It seemed that they were only hope The only hope was to return home to their land, to their own fathers. But again, in her condition, we can see a picture of humanity. The Bible tells us that their life will be filled with troubles and afflictions, Job says. So, like Ruth and like Naomi here, we can emphasize with that because all of us experience troubles and afflictions in life. Is that true? All of us have headaches. All of us have problems. All of us have pains. You know, many times you get up in the morning, you go, oh, I can't move. Happened to you? I was like, and somebody in the house says, it's because you're getting old. No way. And you get up, try to get, no. All of us hurt from time to time. We have physical hurt. We have emotional hurt. We go through that because we're humans. So all of us experience loneliness of heart from time to time. How many people can be in a home with other people and be lonely at heart? It happens. All of us experience, like I said, emotional pain from time to time. All of us experience loss from time to time. But in the midst of all this, we can lean on God. We can. We have the same losses. We lose loved ones. They die. They pass away. The pain is in our hearts. Every time we remember them, we cry out. We all go through that. These three ladies right there, they were in a very bad spot. One left and went to their people, but the other one wouldn't leave. They went to Bethlehem, Judah, but they were struggling. So bad they didn't even have food to eat. They were in a very sad situation. And let me tell you, I hope we never get to that. But I tell you what, I preached to so many people, they got to that point. I preached people. One time I was preaching the Providence Rescue Mission. And in the end, you say, well, some people say, well, people that go there is only drug addicts and people that drink. Listen, go like this with me. People that talk like this, they're ignorant. They don't know what's going on in those places. All right? I met ladies, young ladies they would throw out of their houses because they got pregnant by their parents. I met many of them. But I met couples that lost their jobs and lost their homes and they're in the streets. One time was a couple, they were Christian people. They came to me and they didn't ask me for a dime. They said to me, Pastor, could you pray for me? For us. We lost our jobs, we lost our home. We have nothing. That's hard times, isn't it? Your heart just cuts out because you and me can be there. Imagine if our country collapsed. I mean, I don't want that to happen, but imagine if it collapsed. Imagine if the stock market closes down, everything closes down, the way we do everything, charge cards these days, nobody keeps money at home, and it happened. What would you see? Lines of people crying out for a piece of bread and food. It happened very quick. But see, what I'm trying to say here is that all of us can find ourselves in those situations. You know, we can say, well, don't say never because it can happen. But the thing is, what should we do in the midst of this situation? How should we go about facing life? Because all of us have problems. All of us have problems. You might have more problems than you might be smiling today and crying tomorrow. I may be crying tomorrow and you smiling. But all of us going through those things. But what should we do? Well, Ruth gives us a great example here. His example is loyalty to God. Even if I die, I still love you, Lord. Goodness. Let's see. Look her desire. Look what it says in verse 16. It says, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. She said, don't try to convince me. That's what she's trying to say there. Don't try to convince me to leave thee, Naomi. It says, or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I go. It said, whether thou lodgest, I will lodge with you. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. She's pretty clear. She said, don't try to convince me. I said, I die with you, I live with you, whatever it is, we die together. But, you know, wherever you go, I go with you. That's loyalty. Profound loyalty. Think about Naomi is an older lady here. She probably could not make it by herself back to Bethlehem, Judah. It was fit by 50 miles. You said, well, you can walk 50 miles. Listen, there was no Interstate 95. All right? There was up hills and stones and branches. And I mean, it was not like today. Today you say, yeah, 50 miles just on the street. Yeah, if you drive. You walk 50 miles, that's a long way. All right? You know, even if you walk in a good pavement, is better than walking on like through hills and valleys. And now I imagine what these two old women went through just to get to Bethlehem, Judah. So Naomi has heard that the famine that caused her family to leave was gone from Bethlehem, so they want to return back. And she said, I'll go with you. Don't try to discourage me. So folks, we need to be careful that we don't become... Let me go back here. Look at verse 8. And Naomi said unto her two daughters, go, return each to her mother's house. I'm sorry. The Lord deal kindly with you, and as he have dealt with the dead and with me, the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each one of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, that's both of her daughter-in-laws, and they lift up their voice and wept. So when that scene right there, those three women began to cry. They didn't want to leave. But she said, I can't help you. I don't have no more sons to give you to marriage. You have to go find somebody else to marry with. So folks, we need to be careful that we don't become stumbling blocks like Naomi was. We have to be careful as Christians. Listen. Even sometimes when we are beat down, discouraged, we should not discourage others. Because Naomi was bitter. Naomi was beat down, discouraged. She's going back home, and she was just beat down, discouraged with God and everything. And she knew what she did? She became a stumbling block to one of her daughter-in-laws. Because you know what? She caused her to go back to her people. She caused her to go back to the pagan gods in that culture. You know, that's what happens sometimes with us Christians. Sometimes our attitude, sometimes our lack of faith, sometimes the way we talk and behave cause us to be stumbling blocks to others. And it causes them to fall away. And that's not the way the Lord wants us to be. The Lord wants us to encourage them continually. But I am discouraged. Then you encourage. Then you can encourage yourself. See, problems of life comes and go. I said, Pastor, you don't have any problems. Do you want my problems? We all have problems. But the problem is that when you dwell on the problems, when you submerge your mind in the problems, that's where you're in trouble. Or is it for you to say, how am I going to pay my rent? I don't know how. I'll be honest with you. There's always a solution for every problem of life. There's always a solution. Folks, we need to be careful, like I said, or we will become stumbling blocks to people. In her bitterness, Naomi was the primary responsible for the departure of her daughter-in-laws. But praise God that this young Naomi, she said, you're not going to do that to me. You see, maybe it is the fact that these girls are... One of them left is because of the discouragement. It looks like it is right here. What is interesting to right here, actually in verse 10 it says, and they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. They didn't want to leave her mother-in-law, but her being so bitter and with her words, she caused one to leave. Those two girls had all the intention to follow her mother-in-law to the land of Israel, but Naomi, in her bitterness, did a good job sending one of them of her granddaughters back to her people. You see, bitterness affects the mind and affects the heart. When our hearts are full of bitterness, it usually spreads to the mind and returns. And in return, we lose our focus on God. I put it like this: bitterness is like cancer. It starts in the heart. And it gets its roots and spreads through the body, and it goes outside the body and contaminates others. Bitterness, a person that is bitter, you can see in her character, in her face, you can see in her speech, you can see in her actions, and it becomes, when a person is bitter, it becomes like rude and unkind and very aggressive many times, harsh in their words, because it's a roughness in their heart. They're angry at God. They're angry at everybody else. We had a guy in our job. He was very happy all the time. I said to him, I said, I think you were born angry. And then I felt bad for your mother. We used to call him Happy Kenny because he was never happy. I never saw a person so bitter. You would talk to him and what you saw from his mouth was stones thrown at you. It didn't matter who it was. He was so hard to deal with. And so somebody nicknamed him the Happy Kenny because he was never happy. And one time one person said, well, he just because he works in this place, that's why he's like that. Somebody saw him the other day, still the same way. But that's what bitterness does. It pollutes the mind and the soul. And we see right here a believer, Naomi right here, believer, she is full of bitterness. And bitterness is like a cancer. So we see right here a Ruth's living situation. Number two, we see Ruth's greatest decision. We see this from verse 8 to verse 15. See, let me put it like this. Life is made of choices. You agree with me? Life is made of choices. We make choices all the time. I'll tell you what. I was going to make a choice today. I went to Dunkin' Donuts. I bought 2 dozen donuts for the church. And I said, I'm going to buy a large coffee latte. I don't drink coffee, but. But at the last moment, I said, should I, should not, should I, should not. I had to make a choice right there. So I made a good choice. I didn't buy it. Send myself $3. But life is made of choices, isn't it? You make a choice to get out of bed. You make a choice to go to work. You make a choice of the person you married with. You make a choice to be nice, to be kind, to be loving, to be rude. It's choices that we make. We can't say, I can't help myself. Some people say that. I'm Italian. I can't help myself. I get angry quick. Really? Listen. This person that you are, you can control it. Because you can control the words that come out of your mouth. You can control the actions you added. We can control. I cannot control you, but I can control me. So life is made of choices. And we make choices all the time. And with those choices that we have on our disposal, decision must be made. So should I get saved or should I not get saved? Some people come to church. Should I get saved or not get saved? Should I live for God or should I live for myself? Should I go to church today or should I stay home and watch TV? Should I date this guy or this girl or should I not date this guy or this girl? What should I do? Should I eat this food or should I eat that food? Should I be kind to those people or should I be rude to those people? See, that's choices that we make. We make choices constantly every day. And let me tell you here, Ruth made a great choice. So all of us, one time or another, we are faced with situations in which we have to make choices. Actually, you make choices all the time, but sometimes have to make great, strong choices. Let us say the decision to go or to stay. Look what it says. And Naomi said unto her two daughters, and we already read this verse. Look at verse 9. And the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each one of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lift up their voices and wept. So as they began their journey, Naomi encouraged them, both of those girls, to go back to their families. But let me tell you right here, there was two choices made. One of the girls made a choice to go back to his family. The other made a choice to stay. It's a choice, isn't it? But let me tell you this. With every choice, there is consequences. There are choices that bring consequences. I'm sorry. There are choices that bring blessings. All right? And God even says that in his word. When we choose to follow God and his word and live for him, God shower us with blessings. You say, really? I say, yeah. But when we make other choices away from the promises of God, guess what? We don't reap blessing, we reap consequences. Listen. That's why this book is a great book to read. You know why? Because there's so many blessings here that God wants to give to you and me. So many blessings. You know why we don't have it? Because we make the wrong choices. God wants us to have all these blessings. So folks, in case you haven't noticed, life is filled with challenges, isn't it? Satan would love nothing better than to get you sidetracked and mess up your Christian life. That's what he wants to do. He comes to kill and what? To destroy. That's what he does. Even Jesus said that. He wants to kill and to destroy. You know what Satan wants to do with this church? Destroy it. You know what Satan wants to do with your family? Destroy it. You know what Satan wants to do with you personally? Destroy you. Literally. You know why? Because he hates everything about God. So we'll be confronted with those challenges from time to time. But let me tell you, life is made of choices. So let it be the persuading words. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughter. So we see a persuading words right here of Naomi. Naomi convinced those girls to go back to their people. And let me tell you, we Christians, we have to be careful with our words. Let me tell you, put it this way. Christian people are to always be encouragers. Not to discourage people, but always encourage us. You say, well, easier you say because you are everything is going on good in your life. How can I encourage somebody when I'm discouraged? No, no. God wants to call to edify, listen to this, one another. God didn't say when life is good. God says we have to edify one another. When? Every day. And Naomi does a good job right here to discourage those girls. And she did a good job. How do I react to the challenge of life I face? Many people react to challenge by turning away from the Lord. Naomi did that. You can see it happening in their lives right here. We see this happen in many people's lives. Let us see. We see the evaluation. Let's examine the response of these two women. Look at verse 14. And they left, and they lift up their voices and wept. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. So she kissed, she left, and one stayed. So the two ladies, right, young ladies, they made a decision. One left, one stayed. So when Oprah heard Naomi's speech, she kissed her mother-in-law and turned around and went home. As far as she was concerned, she was going back to her people, her gods, and the old way of life. I'm afraid that there are many or lots of Christians that do the same. When life is not favorable to them, when the oceans are rough, they turn away and go back to the old way of life because they're discouraged. And what we do to Christians like that, we encourage them. We encourage them because we face so many problems each and every day, all of us. And if we rely on or if we focus on the problems, we are in trouble. Listen, there is a great God that loves us and cares for us. And when it is in those moments that we are beaten down, that we need to look up to him. And saying, Lord, I'm here. Don't forget me. I'm here. I need you. So the problem of Orpah was that her heart was still filled with love for the old gods and her old people. She was still a Moabite. Her heart was never been changed. She's more than likely heard the God of Israel because obviously she married with a Jewish man, but she never really put her faith and trust in the God of Israel. See, it's one thing about knowing about God. Another thing is to put our faith and trust in him. You see? Many people know about God. Oh, I believe in God. Oh, I know God is the creator of all. But they never put their faith and trust in him. They just acknowledge there is a God. And many people would die that way. Listen, God wants you to know him personally. He wants to have a relationship with you. And how you do that? Goodness, it's so easy. Salvation is simple. A little kid can understand. My daughter was 7 years old when she understood that concept. What do? I'm a sinner. Oh, goodness, I have broken God's laws. I sin against God. I'm guilty before him. Admit that you were sinning before God. Confess your sin. Lord, forgive me. Isn't that what that man walked in the temple and said, God, forgive me? What he said? A sinner. He acknowledged that he was a sinner. And we ask God to forgive us and call Jesus to come into our hearts. We begin to have a sweet relationship with him. So we see later the examination. Look what it says in verse 15. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. So you see, Naomi, with her convincing bitter words, already won half of the battle. She convinced one to go. Now she's trying to convince Ruth to do the same thing. Folks, we must be careful that we don't lead other people astray when we fall into bitterness. or when we don't have when we don't have life going the way we want to go. Listen, it's easy for any of us. I don't care how mature Christian we are. It can happen to me as well. Then when life doesn't go the way we want it to go, that we get frustrated, that we blame God, that we get bitter and mad and angry, and we try to discourage everybody else that comes behind us. You say, how do you do that? Let me put it this way. I see people leave the job site and encourage everybody else in the job site to quit. You ever been there? Especially those who leave angry. Before you know it, like people are talking about, oh, I'm going to quit too, so-and-so quit. And they're looking about the jobs. Why is that? Because we're mad at the situation. So we try to drag as many people as we want with it. We do that all the time. See, Naomi and her bitterness try to do the same thing here. Drag everybody out. There's no reason for any of us to be bitter at God. No reason. Listen. We're the one who causes our own sin. We're the one. Listen, God does not tempt us to sin. We're the one who do it. Actually, the Spirit of God, if it's inside of us, if we're Christians, the Spirit of God teach us and draw us to the ways of God, not to the ways of sin. We have the old man in us, the old nature that says, I'm going this way. And we shut our hearts and our ears to the voice of God. He's calling us, child, don't go that way. There's no reason for any of us to be angry at God. Listen, when we fall in the ocean of sin and problem situation, don't blame God for it. Trust Him. God wants to trust Him in the midst of the troubles. Listen, when I was dealing with cancer, I didn't blame God for it. I trust Him in my troubles. Actually, I got closer to Him more than you ever think. Because now it's like, you know what? No mess, people die. It's like, what the doctor can do for me? Give me some stuff, make me very sick, then I die anywhere. You know what a lot of people happen to a lot of people? But it's in those trials that we trust God. So, Lord, whatever comes out, I trust you. Whatever you take me, Lord, I'm going and trusting you. It's not what a message I had last week about those three kids that went to the fire. They said to the king, it doesn't matter what you want us to do. Either way, we don't bother you. If you put us in the fire, if we die, then we die. He said, if we become shish kebab, then we shish kebab. But either way, we're not going to do what you ask us to do. You see, his examination right here, we should no reason to be angry at God, no reason to for any of us to mistrust God. Listen, God wants us to trust him. We should never say, I don't trust you, God, anymore. He doesn't give us any reason for us not to trust him. People do. How many people we don't trust? Oh, good night. I can give you a long list of people that I don't trust. It's, you know, in reality. And some people break our trust, right? We trust that person and we get disappointed. We say, goodness, why did you do that? They break our trust. And trust takes time to build up. It takes years sometimes to build up trust. But not with God. What have God have done to me that I don't trust him? God doesn't do anything wrong to me. So we see examination right here. Naomi didn't trust God. She was full of bitterness. So after she got rid of Orpah, she wants to get rid of Ruth as well. But Ruth doesn't go in that waters. So we see, the number one, we see Ruth's living situation. Number two, Ruth's greatest decision. And number three, we see Ruth's heart's devotion. We see this in verse 16 to verse 22. Even though Ruth married a Jewish man, she still lived in the land of Moab. When she followed Naomi, she was living behind everything that she knew to embrace a new way of life. Let me tell you this. I can emphasize this one way because I was not born here. Okay? When I came to America, it was like going to a different planet. You say, what do you mean? Different culture, different language, different people. People think different here. You say, I don't believe that. Why don't you go to another country and see it? I'm going to go over there and bring you a little luggage, and you just walk in there, and you don't understand their language, and you see what you're going to face. Oh, goodness, I want to go back home. It's the culture. I remember for the longest time, you know, there's a lot of jokes that goes on against culture jokes. You know, people say jokes that goes with the culture. People were laughing. My wife was laughing, and I was like, what's funny? I think my wife, what's funny? She goes, oh, it's funny. I'm like, But I say a joke sometimes with my family, right? And we laugh because it's a cultural thing. And she looks at us and goes, what are you guys laughing about? I'm like, oh, you don't understand. Because it's like going to a different planet, so to speak. So we see right here, she lived in the land of Moab. And now she was going to Bethlehem, Judah. So we see a heart's devotion. Letter A, we see her devotion to a new land. Look at verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. For thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. So you see, folks, I believe that Ruth came to a crossroad. In her heart, she had to make a decision that could change her life forever. Her crossroad was either Moab or Israel. She came to that crossroad. Am I staying in the land that I know, the people that I know, the neighbors that I live all my life, or should I go migrate to a different country, different culture, different people, different language? What should I do? She came to a crossroad. And let me tell you, are you in a crossroad tonight? How many times do you find yourself in a crossroad? Where should I go, left or right? I don't know. I'm going to park here for a little time. And we don't know. Have you ever been there? All of us been there. I remember when I was getting married. Oh, my poor wife, she's back there. I remember the week I was getting married, like, I was in the crossroad. Is this the right thing? It's not the right thing. Is this the right woman? It's not the right woman. Well, I thought it was the right one. But, I mean, your mind, you know, plays with you, and you vary in the side. Because, you know, you're making a choice for life. Ruth is doing that. She's making a choice. If she go to Israel, she's going to leave her land forever. But let me tell you, her devotion to a new land, she made that decision. She was at that crossroad, and she made that decision. Ruth was on that crossroad that she did make a decision to completely change her life forever. She was willing to follow Naomi wherever she go. She was willing to leave Moab behind forever to follow Naomi to Israel. She made a decision at the crossroad. What I'm seeing here right here is that all of us go to crossroads and all of us got to make decisions. I mean, through life, we find ourselves many times in crossroads. And we have to make those decisions. Sometimes they're not good decisions. Sometimes they're good decisions. Sometimes that things in our life we say, yeah, I wish I could go back and go down back there and do it over. Ever been there? If I can turn back time or walk back in time, I would do things different. I think all of us have things in our life that we would say, I would do that, don't we? Things that we did and we regret it. So let it be, is her willingness to submit. Look at verse 16. Whether thou goest, I go. So Ruth was willing to submit to Naomi and to follow Naomi to guide her life. So listen, this is a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law. You know, traditionally, nobody likes their mother-in-laws. I like my mother-in-law. She probably is watching us tonight. I like my mother. She's like a mother to me. Right, Mom? She's like a mother to me. I call her grandma, but she's been like a mother to me as long as I know her. But let me tell you, she's right here. She's willing to submit to the authority of her mother-in-law, even though she knew she's very bitter. But she's willing to do that. Let us see. We see her willingness to live a new lifestyle. Look at verse 16. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Ruth, a Moabite woman who was exposed to so many pagan gods, was willing to leave everything behind and embrace a new lifestyle that was the one that she grew up and knew how. She was willing to change her lifestyle to follow Naomi to the land of Israel. Let me tell you have to be an immigrant, you have to be a person that comes from another country to understand what this means. To leave your culture, your people, your language, and go to a totally different country, different language, different culture, and leave it behind and say, I'm going to adopt a new lifestyle. That's not an easy thing to do. Is any of you ever born in another country besides me? You did. So you know what I'm talking about. You understand what I'm talking about. Yes. Because it's a hard thing. I said, I don't know how. Listen, do me a favor. Get a ticket. One weekend fly and fly to another country. Go check it up and see what I'm talking about, because that's the reality of what Ruth is facing here. So latterly you see her devotion to a new line. Look what it says in verse 16 again. Thy people shall be my people. So Ruth was willing to cut all ties with Moab, her land. She wanted to be part of the nation which she was marrying to. She is ready to claim a new lineage. Listen, folks, like Ruth, we need to learn to be reminded that when you receive Jesus as your Savior, you are part of a new family. Let me put it like this. If you receive Jesus as your Savior here tonight, if you are a Christian, not religion, let me tell you this. You are part of a new line. You are a citizen of heaven, not of earth. You don't belong here no more. This is a strange country to you. You're here to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be a light to the world. No other reason. I'm here to live my life, you know, to raise my kids, to leave as much money for them as I can. No, no, no. If you're a Christian, is your what God wants you to do, to be a light to the world, to tell people about Jesus. If you miss that, you're missing the whole point. If God blesses you with wealth, then good for you. So letter E, you see her devotion to a new Lord. Look at verse 16. It says, "And thy God, my God." This is perhaps the greatest statement Ruth makes here. She was willing to give up the gods of Moab to follow the God of Israel. And let me tell you, this is a decision you and me have to do too. What God did you believe in? Let me tell you, folks. I don't care if you call yourself an atheist. Everybody believes in something. All right? People say, "I'm an atheist." Okay, so where's your God? "Oh, I don't believe in any God." You believe in something. Everybody believes in something. But let me tell you, she was willing to give up her gods for the true living God. Listen, there's only one God. There's many gods out there, so people believe so, but there's only one creator. There's only one God. You know what? And every person will give an answer of the life that they live one day, because there will be a day of reckoning for every single human being. So there's a statement of declaration of her faith. She put her faith in the Jehovah God, the God of creation. And let's see, letter F, you see her devotion for life. Look at verse 17, and it said, "Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also I ought, but that part thee and me." So Ruth tells Naomi that she was willing to commit to a new plan for life as long as she lives. She said, "I die with you. Where you go, I go, and you're not going to convince me otherwise." I tell you what a profound loyalty. I tell you what, if we Christians would be that loyal to God, can you imagine the difference we will make in this world? Listen, folks, I conclude with this. We live in a wicked, sinful world, and it's getting worse by the day. I remember when I was a kid, we used to say to people, "Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir." I'm the only one that was raised like that? I don't think so. Doesn't matter who they were. "Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir." I remember that's what we used to have. It was to be taught at school, public school. When you see an old lady, you go help them. Carry their grocery bags. Let them go. When they go across the street, help them go across the street. That's what we learned. Did you see that today? No. Might happen from time to time. And you open your mouth and go, The culture changes. And we live in this world. But let me tell you, we are the ones as Christians that have to make the difference. We have to go, you know, when somebody comes behind us in the store, we leave the door open and show them that we do care and respect another human life. And if they don't say thank you, don't worry about it. Don't get mad. We are the ones to show the light of Christ to others, to talk kind, to be loving to people. We are the ones to show this example, because we live in a world that's not very loving today. We live in a world that people are killing people. People are trashing people. See, we have to be a difference in our workplace. You know, we have to be a difference in our homes, in our neighborhoods, to show the love of Christ to those people. You say, "Well, they're not very kind to me." Were they kind to Jesus? How kind were people to Jesus? They put him in a cross. See, that's the kindness of the human heart. My sin and your sin put him on that cross. But let me tell you, Ruth right here gave us an example to you and me of profound loyalty, not only to her mother-in-law, but to God. She said, God's going to be my God. And she is. She's in the lineage of Jesus. She married Boaz. We're going to look into that in the days ahead. And she became in the lineage of Jesus. What a faithful, what a loyalty. Can that be said about you and me? That we are loyal to the Lord? In season, out of season, when it hurts, when it doesn't hurt. God, I love you. When we are discouraged and lonely, God, I love you. Can that be said about us? Listen, folks, this is not religion. This is that wonderful, strong relationship. That's what God wants. Because ultimately, we want to tell others about Jesus. But look, people look at our lives, how we live our lives. Listen, it shouldn't be fake. It should be who we are. Where we go, bring the light of the gospel and tell people that Jesus loves them. Because he does. It's not like it's not just to make them feel good. Jesus loves them. Jesus loves people. I had the privilege to talk with a young man yesterday, talking about religion. He said to me, I hate religion. And I said to him, Jesus was not very happy with religion either. And he looked at me with these eyes. He was stunned. He said, what? I said, yeah, you want me to explain it to you? And we had a wonderful, about 10-minute conversation. And I shared to him the love of God, how much God loves you. And he was like, oh, come on, I don't even go to church. I said, it doesn't matter. God loves you. God cares about you. And I said to him, God cares so much about you, he wants to save your soul. That one didn't go very well. but I mean, that's, we got to tell them that, right? I don't know, is a seed planted in there? Was some water that I put in there? I don't know. But we have to show the love of Christ to these people. And Ruth right here, what a loyalty. She was submissive to a bitter, mad at God, so to speak, Naomi. And she submitted her to authority and went to the land of Israel. We'll look more on chapter 2 next week, Lord willing.